The rest of the men he sent back to their homes. Jonathan attacked the Philistine outpost at Geba, and the Philistines heard about it. Then Saul had the trumpet blown throughout the land and said, "Let the Hebrews hear." So Israel heard the news. Saul has attacked the Philistine outpost, and now Israel has become a stench to the Philistines. They were the enemies of Israel, clearly. And the people were summoned to join Saul at Gilgal. The Philistines assembled to fight Israel with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They went up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth Avon, and when the men of Israel saw their situation was critical and that their army was hard pressed, they hid in caves and thickets among the rocks and in pits and cisterns. Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, "Bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings." And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him. "What have you done?" asked Samuel. Saul replied, When I saw that the men were scattering, and that you did not come at the set time, and that the Philistines were assembled at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." "You acted foolishly," Samuel said. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." Then Samuel left Gilgal and went up to Gibeah and Benjamin, and Saul counted the men who were with him. They numbered about 600. It's a bit of a sad story. We'll come back to that in a minute. Well, you may think it's difficult to hear God's voice in the midst of all the other voices. And I'm not just talking if you have mental health issues, just all the other things that are going on in your life. You can say to yourself, that's very hard to hear God speak. And in fact, if I ask people, like I did last week in kids' church, I asked the kids, little kids' church group, I said, who here has heard God speak to them? And only one person put up their hand and they said, oh, when I read the Bible, God speaks to me. That's very true. But all the other children couldn't identify times in their life when they thought God had spoken to them. And that's what many people might say. I don't know if God speaks to us. So it seems the difficulty is hearing God's voice. But actually, that's not what Jesus says. The difficulty is not hearing God's voice. The difficulty is that we hear but don't understand or do what God says. Actually, he expects us to be able to hear what God says. Where the challenge comes is that when we hear, we don't do. So Jesus says in Mark chapter 4, "If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more." That's when he's teaching. He's saying, hear what God is saying as I teach. But sadly, it turns out that all the people that heard Jesus teach didn't hear God speak, even though they could hear the words. And so he said to the religious people and others that were listening to him, and he spoke in parables, and they didn't understand what he was talking about. And this is why he spoke in parables, that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. These folk could hear, but but they couldn't actually perceive it. They could see, but they couldn't actually understand it. In John 10, we see this in action. Jesus is teaching in the temple, teaching about being a good shepherd to his people. And then the Jews, who were opponents to Jesus, they gather around him in verse 24, and they ask him this plain question. How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, that's like God's rescuer, tell us plainly. What answer are they hoping to get from Jesus? They're hoping to get a yes, I am, or no, I'm not. They want a plain answer. Here is what Jesus gives them. I did tell you, but you do not believe. Works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. They're looking for yes or no, and Jesus said, I've told you already. How did he tell them? Not just with the words he spoke, but with the works he did. My works themselves testify. Now, these people have seen Jesus heal. There's a guy who's blind. They've just seen him heal this blind man, turned out to be on the Sabbath. So they couldn't recognize the work of God in what Jesus did for this blind man, because for them, he was breaking the Sabbath law. He couldn't be from God. The works I do testify about me. And you don't believe because you don't have faith and you refuse to see my answer, whether I am the Messiah or not. But how about my people, my sheep? They listen to my voice. They've seen heard my words and they understand. They've seen my works and they perceive. They listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. See, those who belong to God hear Jesus speaking. And those who don't may see the same works, may read the same words, but they do not hear because they will not listen. People who don't want to listen to God are going to filter what they want to hear. It turns out, according to Jesus, our greatest problem is not our ability to hear God. Our greatest problem is our ability to listen to God and to follow. Hearing's easy. Listening and following is much more demanding. Our God's not a God on demand. Often we can seek God when we have challenges or tough choices, and that's a telling indicator, isn't it? If you only go to your Heavenly Father when you're seeking God in uncomfortable circumstances, it says something about your walk with God. John Boykin, who authored a book called The Gospel of Coincidence, he wrote this: God does not exist to solve our problems. He's not there to solve your problems. He's interested in them. We're meant to bring them to him. But actually, that's not what God exists for. A really good test of whether you really want to hear God is whether you seek him when life is uneventful. Saul sought God when he had problems, didn't he? You heard it in the story. Saul was in all kinds of trouble. There were more soldiers facing Saul's army than he could count. They had all the technology of their time arrayed against the army of Israel. And Israel sees it and understands they're in big trouble and start to flee. So by my count, they go from roughly 3,000 people to they start trickling away and crossing the river and getting as far away from this battlefield as possible. And Saul is left with how many? 600. And why is he waiting? He's been given instruction by Samuel that I'll come in 7 days. We'll seek the Lord, and when we seek the Lord, God will be with you. And Saul can't wait 7 days. It's so sad, isn't it, when we read the story. His troops are quaking with fear. He waits 7 days, a time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come. So he offers up for himself, by himself, the offerings that only Samuel and the priest could offer. Takes things into his hand. I guess that's what he thinks leaders ought to do, except when they're meant to be obedient to God. And just as he's done it, darn God's timing, just as he's done it, Samuel comes. God could have been far more timely than that, couldn't he? Kind of hear it in Saul's explanation. Look, these people were worried. You didn't come on time as you said you would. Just as he's done it, Samuel comes. And Samuel says to him sobering words, "You acted foolishly. You did not keep the command. If you had, God would have established your kingdom, but now it will not endure. And God's not with you." Saul seeks God when he's in trouble. Constantly does that throughout his whole life. Sadly, Saul was picked at the very start because he was tall, good-looking, athletic. He looked like a leader. But it turns out, you feel like I'm describing you, Henry. Turns out that when you follow the life of Saul, at no point is Saul seeking God because he loves God. He seeks God constantly because he has things afflict him, because he has armies against him. It's a sad life. And Samuel tells him that in contrast to Saul, the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and has appointed him the leader of his people. Saul was motivated by fear of his people, keeping up appearances from hearing from God, and it turns out that God will not be used. He is not your divine aspirin to cure your headache or his cosmic servant to clean up your mess. He is capital G God. And if you go to God, it's on God's terms, not yours. Hearing from God is actually easy. Listening and following is hard. And it only makes sense when we're open to God's direction. The person God appoints after Saul, who we go on to know is David, King David. These words are important. Is the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. You see there? I don't know if David was tall. I feel like he's roughly 5'7", black hair, darkish coloured skin, maybe with little freckles. He probably was, actually. Funny thing, I was told by Bahram, who's an Iranian man, when he first met me, he thought I was from Iran, which I found quite flattering. But he's a Middle Eastern man. It's not important what size he is, what his appearance is. What was important is where his heart was. See, God wants people who have his heart closest to them. And then God trusts his communion, his wisdom, to the one who loves what he loves. That's David. And when you and I are listening to God, that's what God wants from us, that we would seek his heart and love what he loves. And really, that's the message of this series. Is hearing from God means we want to listen to him and faithfully follow because we love him. We want a relationship with him. And I think that is an amazing way to start a year, to remind ourselves that there's nothing more important than that. As I finish this series, I've got five practical things that I think could be helpful. So just flick forward from there. As we here are five things that we could put into practice so that we can hear from God in the midst of all the other things that are noisy around us. The first one is we meditate on God's word. God does use his word to help us know his heart. If you're going to love what God loves, why wouldn't you read the Bible? It tells you through story, through wisdom, through letter, through insight, what is on God's heart, what is his passion, what is his dream, what he loves. And when we understand God's word better, deeper, we know what God loves more. And it shapes us, helps us come close to him. The second one that I've got here is we should reflect on God's work in your life. See the way that God is already at work in you. See how he's shaping your heart and mind and spirit to be more like Jesus. Listen to those times when God puts his finger on the things that aren't right in your life and follow it. Be obedient to it. Let him change you. Often I feel like I know God's voice best when it's different to my natural inclination. When I feel like that I would naturally want to do this. And then I have a whisper in my spirit that says, no, do that. Ah, God, I hear you. I want to follow you. One area that we all need to reflect on honestly is we want to hear what we want to hear. So if you have something that you're bringing before God, open up your heart to all the things that you don't want to hear. Speak to God constantly. In Baptist church life, we often encourage devotion times, and so we should. Daily devotions. Get up early or at the end of the day. A portion of your day which is set aside so you can read God's word and pray and listen. And it's not nice and neat. I want to challenge the neatness and help you speak to God constantly. Yes, in the dedicated slot in your day, but throughout your day. Speak to God about what matters to you. Speak to God about the challenges that you might be experiencing in this moment. Speak to God about what you might need to say to someone else as you're speaking to them. You know, it's been really delightful for me in this past week as I've focused my antenna on listening to God more and therefore being more open to what God might say. In my encounters with people, I feel like I've been more in tune. And thankfully, possibly, more helpful. And that's because there's just this constant speaking, God, what would you have to say at this point? Learn to listen deliberately and carefully in the midst of all your speaking to what God might say. In your devotion time, you might do journaling, you might make notes. Take a little portion of your time just to stop and say, God, what would you have me know? From all the things that I've read or all the things that are on my heart, what do I need to hear? And then finally, when God does not speak, as Miranda reminded us last week, there are lots of reasons why God might be silent. When God does not speak, don't panic. Here's something for you to get your heads around. God's will for us in general is that we should run our own lives. in general. You figured this out to the extent that you don't ask God, for those of you who go vegetable shopping, should I buy this watermelon today or not? You figured out that the choice of watermelon for today is in your hands, right? But in general, God gives us responsibility to determine our own path in life. And so if God is silent, his will may be, you decide. Some of us need to pause a little longer. I will be one of those people. My default position is, I'll decide, God, and you let me know if I'm wrong. I could probably save myself a little pain if I paused a little longer, but I've noticed other people's default position is, God, if you don't let me know, I won't do anything. Your permission to proceed, people, rather than ask for forgiveness. But Dallas Willard has this to say about this situation. When God does not speak, a child's character cannot be known, even to herself, until she is turned loose to do what she wants. It's precisely what she wants and how she handles those wants that both reveal and make her the person she is. We parents know this, don't we? You're forming and hopefully encouraging a great person to emerge in your children. When will you know that the work is happening? Not when you tell them what to do. That's not when you know that. You know that when you are no longer present and you no longer are able to tell them what to do. That liberty of freedom tells you what kind of character has been formed in the child. And often I think God gives us a lot of liberty and silence to see what character is formed in us. So when God does not speak, don't panic. Search yourself, see if, as Miranda said last week, there's any hindrance. Get some counsel from other people. At least two Christians who are not necessarily going to tell you what you want to hear. And then act on what seems best. At the start of the series, it was his invitation. What could happen in you if you focused on listening to God and living faithfully? I don't know what's happened in you. I know for me it's been an important refocus at the start of the year, and I trust that I'll keep that focus going forward. I want to hear more of God. I want to be more obedient to living his will. Now, if God is saying something that is going to be helpful for somebody else, I want to hear it and I want to say it. I want to do more of that. And it turns out that's what the sheep, the people of Jesus, want to do. They want to listen to his voice, see what he's saying in his words and through his works, and they want to follow. If you haven't done so, I would encourage you to take a hold of this little reading program. It's on our website. If you go under Faith and Bible Reading, Daily Bible Reading, you sign up for it there. I'd encourage you to do it. It is genuinely useful. It's 24 days long. You can take as long as you like over it. Doesn't take long to do, but it has thoughts each day that'll help you grow in hearing God. In your daily prayer, I would encourage you to take a listening posture. Put some space in your daily devotion to be open to God and what he might say. Learn to hear the Spirit's voice amongst your own thoughts and words. And when you're relating with others, be open to hear what God might say through you. What kind of year might it be if we did this every day? Not just try to be obedient, but listen to God. What kind of church might we be? It'd be an amazing church. God help us do this. Let's pray. God Almighty, in the past there were a few people that expected to hear from you. They were kings, they were prophets, they were priests. Now, through Jesus Christ our Lord, we have the Spirit of God in every believer's heart. We are not orphans, and you are not silent. You are speaking to us. I pray, our God, that every believer that hears these words today may grow in hearing from you. And then that we might do the harder thing, which is to live faithfully for you. I pray, our God, that our hearts are stirred to love you more, to seek after your heart, to seek communion with you, to know you more. And I pray as well that hearing from you won't be just good for us, but it'll actually be good for everyone that we know. As we go into this year, we pray this simple prayer. Give me Samuel's ear, an open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each one of your words. May we, like him, answer your call and obey you first of all. Amen. As we close today, pretty sure there's no morning tea again, just because we're keeping on going with that. We're going to sing our last song, and I'll be at the front if you wanted to say good day to me. But do hang around, seeing as you came all this way, why don't you say hello to one another as we close off. Standing. sheep, Jesus says, know my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Go into this week knowing the voice of Jesus and following him. God bless.